Well, good morning, everybody. Like Chris said, it seems a little thin this morning, but Jesus also told us where one or two are gathered in my name, he said, I'll be in the midst. So why don't we just pray and invite him? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can gather again this morning in this way. Thank you, Lord, for the health you provided, Lord, that we could all get up. Father, we think of the ones that aren't healthy this morning. We just pray for them, Lord, that you would encourage them somehow today with your word. Father, we think of the ones that are gathered in other churches, Lord, communities around us. We pray for them also, Lord, that your word could be preached. Father, we pray, help me look here this morning with the few thoughts that I have. Bless them, Lord, somehow. Just pray, Father, that have me speak, Lord, what you would want me to speak. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this little gathering here this morning. We thank you for the many blessings. It's like your song, the old song goes, count your blessings, name them one by one. Father, we wouldn't get done. And we thank you for this. We just commit this into your hands this morning, Lord. We thank you in your son's name. Amen. Yeah, it's Brother Chris, I guess, should have just went on, because this morning we're going to turn to Matthew 5. And we're going to read the Beatitudes again. And then with the Lord's help, we're going to talk about one of them. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And then when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like Chris said, do we feel blessed this morning? And the one that I wanted to talk about is number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I think if we would ask everybody here this morning, I think we would all want to be called the children of God. Blessed, like Chris said, we would be blessed and be called the children of God. But there's a little something attached to this. It's the kingdom way of living, like Chris was saying. And I tried to think some of examples in the Bible where there was peacemakers. And the first thing that I thought of was the little children. You know, these are little children, they have squabbles, but sooner more than later, they want to have peace. They want to play together and have peace with one another. Peace. A peacemaker. What is a peacemaker? Said it is somewhere in one of the dictionaries I read it. It describes a harmonious relationship between men. Something that's in harmony between men. Can I be a peacemaker if I don't have peace with God? I had to think of Jacob and Esau. In Genesis 33, you can turn there if you want to. Genesis 33, We'll read 1 down to 4. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and their children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed and wept him. Now I had to think there, if Jacob's attitude there, the way he met his brother, I mean, it just made a big difference. How he bowed down to the ground and he met his brother like this, and it broke his heart. And they made peace there, if I understand that. I had to think, years ago there was 2 bishops that couldn't agree on some scripture. And this really made a turmoil in each of the churches. They didn't have communion together. And this went on for quite some time. And one day, one of the bishops went and seen the other. And when he walked in the door and their eyes met, they both broke down and started crying. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, if one of them wouldn't have made a move and been a peacemaker, I don't know what would have happened. Abraham and Lot, there's another one. When I had to think of that, I had to think in Romans. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I don't think that this means that we're going to have to excuse each other's sins so we can live in peace. I think you know what it means. Abraham, example, how he told Lot, you know, the choice is yours. You go to left and I'll go to right. You go to right and I'll go to left. And he wasn't selfish. He just opened it up to him. He said, you make the choice. And Lot did. And a lot of times, and you know, Abraham's example was a real nice example of being a peacemaker. The response to the family conflicts or any conflicts, let the other have first choice, even if it means not getting what we want. Put family peace above personal desires. I think Jesus, he understood how destructive arguments can be, and in his final prayer before being betrayed and arrested, Jesus asked God that his followers be one and in peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I had to think of James. The verses in James 3, 16, 17, and 18. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. How important is peace to us? These are questions I have to ask myself. How important is peace to us? When I was thinking, when the Lord laid this on my heart about being a peacemaker, and He is helping me with this. There's a lot of learning I have to do yet, and this is one area. How to be a peacemaker. I had to think of the Proverbs. Now this is a little more on the negative, on the things that the Lord hates. If I can find it here. In Proverbs 6, 12 through 19, it says, warning against sowing discord. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. These things, says these seven things, does the Lord hate. I looked it up and it says the Lord looks at this with extreme hatred. Sowing discord among brethren. I think we can do this, and I know I've done this, and I'm sorry if I did. But I think we can do this without saying a lot of words. If we know how a brother feels, I don't think we have to say very much to put fuel in the fire, so to speak, to keep stirring the pot, so to speak. May the Lord help us. The Lord hates these things. It says it right here in His Word. I got a poem here yet I want to read, and a benediction. 2 Corinthians 13:11. It says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? If we live in peace, the God of peace shall be with you. What more do we want? I know most of you have probably heard this story before or heard the poem. But I thought it was so fitting this morning, I'm gonna read it to you. Back in the 1930s or so, when times were hard and business slow, two neighbors dwelling side by side, in peace and harmony did abide. They worked together and shared in need, though neither had much. There was no greed. They gladly gave hand, heart, and tool, and daily practiced the golden rule. Between their land was a rippling stream, so they built a bridge for man and team, for each to cross to the other side, to a path that was always packed and wide. Things went well for many years. They worked together through smiles and tears, till one sad day their trust was broken, and fiery words were hastily spoken. Each went home to his life to live, and willing to forget, much less forgive. They parted there on the well-worn path, and the sun went down upon their wrath. "I'll build a fence," one man declared, "so far from his sight I will be spared." He cut the boards, and with a plan in mind, but the time to build he did not find. So the lumber waited on a pile, and the weeds grew thick on the path meanwhile. And the bridge that spanned the water there all fell apart beyond repair. And then one day came a knock on his door, and a tramp requested to have some chore, some work to do to earn his bread, and a place to rest his weary head. And right away he thought about the fence. That tramp could build it with little expense. So he told the tramp of his neighbor's deeds, why the path was all grown up in weeds, why the bridge had rotten and fallen apart because of the hate in his neighbor's heart. "I don't want to see him," he said with a scorn. "You can build the fence tomorrow morn." The tramp was up at the break of day, and the farmer went on his chosen way. And he hoped that night when he returned to be hidden from the one he surely spurned. The tramp assisted the lumber pile, and what he saw made him smile. So he went to work with a right good will, just as the sun peeked over the hill. He built a bridge all sturdy and new, and the path he mowed where the tall weeds grew. Now it looked like it had many years before, and he hoped that peace it would restore. The farmer could hardly believe the sight that met his eyes when he turned that night. And what should he see on the other shore but the neighbor who caused him to be so sore? "Can you forgive?" the neighbor cried, and he met the man from the other side. And both were sorry amid their tears that they thought of the many wasted years. And though they looked, they could not find the tramp that had been so lowly and kind, a humble man whom God had chosen to melt the hearts that with hate were frozen. God sent his Son from heaven above. He is the very bridge of love. And now, my friend, what do you say? Will you build a fence or a bridge today? May God bless you.